Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Time to light it up. Welcome to the best technology resource across the country. It's the Data Doctors radio program. Remember, you can always jump into the show at facebook.com/datadoctors.
Or you can hit our toll-free number, 1-888-545-1988.
Glad you can make us a part of your day. It's the Data Doctors, Spanky and Brandon. Here's what's going on in the world of tech right now.
Nintendo Wii finally shows the next box, but is it too late?
And Call of Duty 3 makes an appearance at E3. It's pretty graphic. We'll tell you all about it.
Data Doctors radio program.
So first up, Nintendo. Whole new platform, whole new console called Wii U.
It is a whole new ball game.
It's not just a new box. They have redesigned the controller. They've changed the graphics. They are definitely gearing up for a whole new competition.
Wii has stepped up their game. You remember when the first Wii came out and you thought, this is a great kids console, because the graphics were kind of dorky. They were blocks and very colorful, very Mario Kart-ish.
But what I loved about it is that I could turn my kids loose and I didn't feel like I had to sit there and watch what they were doing. I felt like, you know, it's safe. And the controllers, those were revolutionary. The way that you interact with the game, that was different. Now, I know today we have the Kinect in there and we've got these motion things, but we really changed the way we look at games.
Yeah, so the controller was a big part, the Wiimotes and the, what are the other part of the Wiimotes called? The Nunchucks.
The Nunchuck, yeah, that's the second hand.
Yeah, right? The second part of it. They've really changed the game, but the new Wii, the Wii U, it's all about the controller. It's this really cool two-handed tablet-like controller that has a high-def video screen built right in.
It's almost like you took a tablet and you put some physical buttons, like for your thumbs and your fingers and stuff, on the tablet on the sides.
Handlebar grips.
Yeah, and it's tablet-like because it's a video screen, it's HD, it's touchable, and it does some really cool things. You actually played with the thing in a little bit of a demo. Tell them about the experience, what you saw when you played with that.
So first of all, it's very, very, it's motion sensitive. So when you rotate the tablet down, what you see is an alternate version of what's on the screen in front of you. So on the main screen, for example, in the demo, there was this sparrow flying through a Japanese garden.
Right.
And let me just tell you, the graphics were so intense, you could smell that. It was almost like you could smell the cherry blossoms that were blooming on the tree.
When we first walked up, I thought it was like a video reel that was rolling, and I'm like, well, when are you going to play the game? And that's the game. It was rendered graphics. The raindrops when they hit the water looked like water with ripples. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah, the best graphics I have ever seen, and movie-like quality. So the controller, what it does is a couple of cool things. It's, first of all, the first Wii that is actually high-def, which is, you know, kudos to Nintendo.
Right. Welcome to the 2010s or whatever we're at now, right? The 1980s want their old graphics controller back.
I don't need that 4x3 crud. So it's got the new high-def stuff, but the tablet is where it really changes, the controller. So when you're playing a game, you can pause the game at any point, or depending on what game it is, and the tablet can pick up a virtual reality that's different. So you can have a 360-degree view of what you're playing in. So if you're playing in a fighting game, you can turn around and see who's behind you. You can look at different aspects of the room just by holding the buttons down on your controller and looking at the video screen in front of you.
It's not just 360, though. It's up and down, too. Like, think about when you're using the street view in Google, and you can change not only where you're looking, but you can look up and down at the sun, at the ground, whatever. You can change what you look at, and that's a personal view for every player in the game.
Right. Each one is different. So if we're playing a multiplayer version of the game, each person could be using their controllers independently, and they'll see different things on their screen at different times. It is phenomenal. This new controller is a game changer for Nintendo.
Well, here's what's not a game changer, at least for the short term. So if you're thinking about, like, for the holidays, you're looking to purchase, this is the time, right? Because Xbox is coming up with their new stuff, and they've got the Kinect, and Sony, well, we'll talk about Sony later. The guys at Nintendo, this thing isn't available until at least after April next year, and they don't even have a release date yet. They don't have pricing. There's no titles yet. It's a long, long ways out.
And for such a cool device, and obviously they have it functioning, they have it working, I don't understand why they're making the announcement now, because why would I care almost a year out from now?
Maybe they're trying to just build some hype. I mean, this is the convention if you're in the gaming world, and there's a chance that they're ready to rock and roll by this time next year, and so maybe they're trying to make sure that they take the moment, seize the moment, and get rolling. What we do know, again, the release date out at least a year from now. Street pricing, we don't know, but we do know it will replace your existing controller for the Wii. That box you have, that white box.
It'll replace the Wii.
Right. It's not like the Microsoft Kinect, right, where you add that to your existing thing. This is a whole new platform. You start all over. Now, that's got good and bad. The good is, you know, maybe it's time for that thing to go away. The bad, you got to start all over. You got to replace the whole thing. We're going to get HD. We know that. That's cool. Obviously, they've got titles to figure out. They got a lot of things to figure out here.
And with the HD comes, remember, for those of you who are on Netflix, now your Netflix will actually stream to your Wii and actually make sense. Because if you're on Netflix and you're streaming to your Wii now, you may as well watch it on an old 4x3, you know, TV.
They're saying all your old titles will continue to work, so the stuff you have now continues to work. They have this new disc format that nobody quite knows what it is, but we know it holds 25 gigabytes per disc. And they'll combine that with some online sort of downloadable stuff. The controller and the way you use the Wii U, seven different ways, different combinations of controller plus old stuff, the motion sensors alone, all kinds of different things. And so there seems to be a little bit of sort of the Kinect-ish thing where you can use just the motion sensors, but you can also interact with different controllers. They're all wireless, very cool stuff.
And in a bit of related news, which I don't quite understand, Nintendo shares took a drop. I mean, like, they nosedived off the stock market floor. What happened?
Yeah, like the day after the announcement of here's what's going on, right, the shares fall, and you kind of expect, you know, this is
to go up.
Right. You would expect the opposite. And so what the industry analysts are kind of saying is that, well, Nintendo, did you miss the boat? Everybody's going after Farmville and all these kind of social apps. They're free. They're available on any kind of platform. You don't need to install anything. What's up, guys?
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, I mean, if it's just the delay of the game, then I do understand it.
Hey, we wanted to get to the EA Call of Duty. We'll get to that maybe coming up later on the show. Still ahead, Microsoft wants you to get rid of your cable TV.
Plus, Apple's got a new lion in a cage, but is it a killer or a pussycat? This is the Data Doctors radio program. Oh, you know, even at E3... we met people with computer problems. There was one gamer trying to set up, and they had a game that was in demo mode, and epic fail.
Blue screen! Yeah, I mean, everybody has problems.
Everybody
with this
has
stuff.
Problems like this, okay? You don't have to be a slave to your technology. These devices, computers, iPads, they all exist to make our life easier.
You're supposed to own them.
Right.
Not them own
Not
you.
Not them own you, correct. So when your computer acts up, don't let it ruin your day. At Data Doctors, we've got a team of computer experts that can take your pain away super fast. We can speed up your machine, network your office. We can even show you how to back up your data. And if you lose everything because you don't listen to us, we can get that back for you too. We've got locations around the country. There's a Data Doctor store right near you. Go to datadoctors.com and just type in your zip code. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for nearly a quarter century.
Technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, did you know Google wants to help you get to work on time?
Of course I knew.
You can check transit schedules with Google Maps, and soon it'll be available at a city near you.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
You know, you Apple guys aren't the only smart guys out there. I knew too, of course. We're taking your calls, 888-545-1988. We're also having sound file mix-ups, because that's how we roll.
Delivering technology sometimes doesn't work.
Yeah, it's all good.
So Microsoft has come up with another killer invention.
I don't know if it's an invention. They're just taking something that's out there And
this is Apple fanboy trying to give Microsoft some props, and you're cutting me off at the knees.
So here's what they're doing. It's really interesting. They're maybe eliminating long-term your need to get TV via the old cable or that dish thing that's on your roof, right? Maybe they're eliminating that. They're bringing live TV streaming from your Xbox 360.
Which is really cool.
And when I say live TV, I don't mean like right now, of course, you can go on Netflix, you can go on Hulu, you can go on YouTube. You can get video that's already been recorded.
But we're talking about, hey, it's Dr. Phil, and today we're talking to the most dysfunctional family in America.
Where did you get that actual sound file of Dr. Phil? Because that
I
sounded
pulled Dr.
legit.
Phil right out of my butt. I can do that.
Or worse. So it's TV that's airing right now. Stuff and they're looking to team up in different countries, different things, but they're teaming up with television partners, people that are already providing TV over those traditional methods to bring it to you maybe in a different way.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
It's pretty slick. And Microsoft, I gotta say, as the Apple guy, this is kind of hard for me to say. I think this is gonna be the year of the flag.
They're just combining stuff. You know maybe what Apple needs to get out on? They need their own console. They're missing. They've got the Apple TV, which is all the stuff except for the gaming.
By the way, Apple TV announced this week, Mac Rumors announced this week that Apple TV will be going high def. Oh my God, what took so long?
Like anybody cares. Some of the other things Microsoft announced, a part of the Xbox sort of software upgrades and things, some new voice controls. And so this is important, and it relates to the TV thing, because think about when you want to watch a TV program. And you got to get your remote and you got to type in on some weird keyboard and search. And no. You speak and it spells.
So, for example, and we got to see this at E3 in action. We got to see how the voice control works. And it's great, by the way. So if we're watching a show that's totally boring and we want to switch to Dr. Phil, all you got to do is say, Dr. Phil.
Mute MacTastic guy. You said totally boring. Sorry. My bad.
You muted me. What am I going to say?
Oh, speak again.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what else to say about this, so you got to speak.
So the voice control is going to take over the remote. And for me, that's huge because I know a lot of people in my family, my wife, who have a really hard time using the remote control because it's hard to find the stuff that you want to watch. It's a challenge.
Yeah, and searching, typing, ugh.
Oh,
who wants that?
Horrible. Very old school.
Remember, all the links to today's program, they're up all in one place, datadoctors.com/radio. You can find everything we're talking about. It's all right there.
And I can tell you, if you listen to last week's program, this week, they'll be there when we say they'll be there.
Actually, on time. Sure.
It was my bad. I take ownership. They made me do it on a Windows PC. What can I say?
So do you love your friends?
No. Hate them.
Oh, well then, I don't know what to do with this story. So there's a lady that loved her friends, her Facebook friends, that is, so much, she decided to tattoo all of them.
Oh!
It's 152 of them. She tattooed all of them on her arm.
Why would you? What was she smoking? First of all, okay, I get that you can have your Facebook friends and you've got their profile pictures inked on your arm. Friending them, super easy. Unfriending them, not so much.
Yeah, and so when you unfriend them, do you have to go back and like have them like black out the face or something? Or
they use an eraser. Rub the skin off.
What if people update their profile pictures? What if the picture you tattooed was one they hated?
Good thing she didn't have 3,000 friends, because that would have been on her rear end.
Some people put the pic... I don't know. What are you saying? We don't even see it. We don't know. Are there pictures of this lady?
Yes.
Is it that big?
No, but you can assume that the butt is bigger than the arm.
I guess.
I mean, don't you think?
So if people change their profile pics, these don't change. What about people who have those temporary, like in honor of Memorial Day, right? Or Independence Day, or she's got a flag on there? What is that?
She doesn't have her arm, man, that is a sleeve of pictures. Holy cow. We've got a link to the video, by the way, datadoctors.com/radio. And there's video of her getting the tattoo. So if you're squeamish, if you can't handle seeing people get needles in the arm.
Guilty.
Yeah, you might not want to watch that video.
By the way, we talked a little bit about the guys over at, what is it, EA?
Uh-huh.
And they what's the Modern Warfare?
Oh, dude, Modern
Call
Warfare.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. We've got some audio of that.
Let me tell you.
Intense stuff.
This game,
Stalker 1-0, this is Stalker 1-1. Status report, over. Stalker 11, this is Stalker 10, leaving Manhattan, entering Brooklyn Battery Tunnel now. Over.
So you saw a lot about this thing. Ooh, loud stuff.
Call to Duty Modern, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. We've got a link to the trailer. We obviously got invaded. We got a link to the trailer, a link to the official website. Let me tell you about the graphics in this game. First of all, it takes you into the modern day. So it's today. It's happening. It's Modern Warfare. And we get attacked. The U.S. gets attacked. And it's not like an Al-Qaeda attack. This is a war.
And a modern war.
A modern war. Oh, by the way, the battle begins 11-8-11. Why wouldn't they do 11-11-11? That's kind of more catchy.
That would be cooler. 11, the guys 8? At the office, some of them are so pumped about this. Military games, for some reason, so popular.
This game, if I could describe the graphics, children, cover your ears, because this is horrible.
Not for kids?
Not for kids. I had a hard time. I watched a few people at E3 when there was a guy who got shot, and when the bullet hit him, or multiple bullets hit him, the blood kind of splattered, and what they did is it hits the camera.
So not for me.
And it's not a camera. It's a video game. It's just an artist drawing. It's a graphic. It's computer-generated graphics. But it looks so real. It's sick. And I saw this one woman turn away. She covered her eyes and turned away. That's how real this stuff looks. It looks to be a great game. I've played Modern Warfare, the one with the nuclear annihilation cup. It's a great game. Graphics, even better.
Why is everything you're bringing up stuff for guys like me? Not for guys like me. I'm squeamish. This stuff, not my thing.
Yeah, it's not my thing either. So,
it's still ahead. Twitter's new photo sharing goes live, plus more from our trip to E3. What the game you should get for Christmas? We don't know.
This is the Data Doctor's radio program.
You mean what's the game, don't you?
You know, all the links to all the stuff we talk about, including what you're listening to right now, all available at datadoctors.com/radio.
Or you can jump in toll-free, 888-545-1988.
Or hit us up on facebook.com/datadoctors. We'll do our best to make your question a part of our show today.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
So, Apple fanboy.
Yes, sir. What are you talking about, Apple fanboy?
Everybody knows.
I'm talking about flags this week.
You're geeked out always for Apple stuff. Apple.
Oh.
They announced, we talked about a little bit next week, but we got more concrete details about the OS X Lion that's coming out in July.
Please, it's OS 10. Everybody, all you Windows people, it's OS 10 Lion.
Why did Steve Jobs call it OS X?
Because he's a putz.
He's a putz. He's not looking so hot, by the way.
He's not looking, you know, and that's a sad thing. And we joke and we kibitz back and forth. Kibitz, it's a very nice word about Steve Jobs and about Apple and how great they're. I hope he's doing well because boy, he doesn't look good.
And
he battled pancreatic cancer.
Without him, we know what that company looks like.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe that one person can make that much difference, but
it does. He does. He's battled. For those of you who don't know, he's battled pancreatic cancer and liver transplant. So his health is not great. I hope he just can fight whatever it is that's making him ill, because he's not looking good. But, man, is his company, again, innovating. They're leading the way.
So this OS X Lion, the new version for the desktop laptop operating system, not the iPad iPhone. Right. Most exciting part, $30.
$30. It's cheap. One of the things that Apple does really, really well is they make upgrading affordable. It's not like a painful process.
So they don't do, like Microsoft does these monumental changes where when you upgrade, boy, do you feel it. And they get a lot of props for that. If you're going to pay the $130, $140 bucks it takes to buy the operating system, you better get a lot. But they also get a lot of flack for that because there's a lot of pain involved. You got to learn different things. Apple takes a little bit different approach.
Yeah, when functionality changes, it's not at a very steep price. And so therefore, you know, you kind of go with the flow. And one of the big things, I mean, $30 aside, I think the iCloud is going to revolutionize content delivery to the Apple Apple devices.
Yeah, the iCloud, if you haven't figured out or heard what that is yet, it's a service, and some people have it confused with like an online backup or an online storage. It's got a little bit of that, but that's not really where its power is. Its big power is that it allows you to take photos that you take on one device and sync them. It allows you to take music you have on one device. The stuff shows up on your other devices auto-magically.
Super synchronicity. Basically, what it does is if you're a Mobile Me user right now, you're going to be converted to an iCloud user. So you'll keep that Apple address, your whatever at me.com. Any device that you have, as long as you have that me.com signed in, anytime you put one of those images on, you'll have the option, obviously, to turn on or off certain functions. But it will automatically go to the cloud, iCloud, and then find your other devices and go, oh, you belong there. Plop. And it'll drop them on it. It's like a repeater. It's like a ricochet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. A little bit technical behind the scenes, but suffice it to say, it makes making your music, your pictures, your stuff, getting it on all the other devices makes it super simple. And that's really good news. So, something that I thought was also really good news, seems really minor, but for a guy who uses the Windows world, who's come over to the Mac world and uses that occasionally too, full screen apps. What the heck? Why haven't we had this till now?
Wow. I gotta tell you, even as a hardcore Apple user, I have been hitting that green plus for years. And every time I hit it, I go, ah, oh, it doesn't do that. It's one of those, well, why wasn't somebody thinking about that function when you hit green plus should go full screen? When you hit yellow, it minimizes. When you hit red, it closes.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, but Apple didn't do that. So they're finally fixing that. A couple of other things that they're adding in, multi-touch gestures, much like your iOS devices. iOS is iPad, iTouch, iPod Touch rather, your iPhone. So all of those swipes and sweeps and
zooming
with your
pinching,
fingertips,
yeah.
That's all coming to the new Apple OS 10 software.
Lion. Your word.
We've had so many animals, I can't remember which animal we're up to.
And we've talked about
zebra, gazelle, unicorn.
We've talked about the frustration you have with you scroll up on one device, which does one thing, and all that fixes itself too. So a lot of cool stuff. None of it really super monumental, but a lot of stuff that makes it more usable, makes it easy, makes it feel more like other stuff you use right now from Apple products.
Absolutely. And it's coming out. It'll be out soon, so just sit tight. It'll be out in July. And it's got a ton of great features. Also, while we're talking about Apple, if you can't wait for the new iOS device software to come out.
We've given them the list enough times. They know what they are.
Yeah, they know what they are. And you want to edit your photos on the iPad. Here is a killer app that is so much easier than Photoshop Express.
So the reason he says if you don't want to wait, part of what's being released with the iOS stuff is some photo editing features built in. You don't have to pay. You don't have to download. It's all built in. There's new features, if you don't want to wait for the new features, you can get this $5
app,
but super easy to use and lets you do all kinds of cool kind of advanced editing techniques right on your iOS device.
So the app is called Snapseed. Snapseed brings pro-level photography editing to the iPad, including textures, overlays, or backdrops where you put a texture into a picture. So if, let's say I'm photographing a bride against a river. And we
Why
want
are you talking about brides and rivers?
Because I'm a wedding photographer.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not allowed to pimp my business, though.
Business?
Nothing. Move on. And we have texture in the background. You wanna burn and dodge and add all these effects. And it's better than just these simple sliders. You can apply to different parts of the image different types of finishes. It's very, very cool.
Very easy. $5. We got a link for that and all kinds of other things. datadoctors.com/radio. By the way, while you're there, iPhone apps. We found a bunch of new leaky ones and Android apps too. We've got all that. Just head on over datadoctors.com/radio and click on leaky smartphones.
You got to fix those leaks. Still ahead. Something that can cost you an arm and a leg. What's a kidney cost these days?
$50.
I don't know. What will it get you? This is the Data Doctors Radio program. Hey, if you've spent any time listening to the program, you know how important antivirus software is. Even us Mac. Oh, no, the world's coming to an end.
Gotta have it.
The attack.
It's not coming to an end.
It's here.
It's not that bad.
Duck.
Come away from the cliff.
Dodge.
Come down.
It's like bullets flying.
No.
In Modern Warfare 3.
So overdramatic.
I know. So you've had, you got lazy. Your renewal notices pop up and you go, get to it later. For those of you Mac people, you never had renewal notices because this is the first time you needed it. With Data Doctors, we've got a great program called Quality Care Secure. Your antivirus never expires, Mac or PC. Imagine never having big repair bills ever again.
Doesn't cost an arm and a leg or a kidney either.
Exactly. We've got plans starting at $8.95 a month, so there's a quality care plan to fit your needs. Go to datadoctors.com and just click on Quality Care. Hey, did you know Angry Birds, one of the most popular game apps, coming out with a cookbook?
Cookbook?
Cookbook. So what do you think's on the menu?
Chicken.
Pretty close. Egg recipes.
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken. We've got all the links at datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
So this week I was showing you something that you said, we should talk about this on the air.
It's cool. Okay, so once in a while, behind the scenes, let me pull the curtain back for you, the listener. Once in a while, Brandon surprises me with a nugget.
Every day.
Once in a while.
Every day.
Once in a while, he surprises me with something, and he, oh, Brandon, if you try this, man, I'm telling you, this is like crack.
Thrice daily.
It is like crack. I've never tried crack, by the way. But it's like if this was a drug, it would be illegal.
Enough suspense. They're on the edge of their seats. We're talking about something that helps you map your family.
Wait a second. That's not crack. No, this is. It's called Genie. Genie.com.
G-E-N-I without any E's or anything. Not I dream of. Not just Genie.com.
As in genealogy. Drop the ology.
We'll make it easy. We'll have a link. Datadoctors.com/radio.
Thank you. You're anyway. Welcome. Genie is, here's what's really cool about it. First of all, it's one of the first genealogy websites that's really free. You can upgrade to all these advanced levels if you want to get into the really hardcore stuff. But for basic genealogy and family tree mapping, it's a free app, and it's killer.
Very, very visual. You create this tree, and it starts with you in the center of it. And you start with little arrows to the left and the right and the up and the down. And you start adding your kids and your siblings and your spouse and your parents. And it just starts to take on a life of its own. Because as you start adding people, part of what you can add is their email addresses. And it invites them and they can start building onto the same tree. And it gets out of control quickly.
And of course you started in the center because everything is centered around me.
Whatever. So we did discover a little bit of a fail.
Quite a bit of a fail. So let me explain what happened because it's my family. Look, our family tree branches wide, but in this case, on the use of technology, it's got one limb.
One limb?
Yeah, one limb. It's a straight tree up.
So Spanky has a mother, father, and stepfather. And somehow, someone's, we won't mention any names, linked him up to show him as the son of father and stepfather versus the son of mother and father.
Now, not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
But neither of my parents are gay.
Right. But the way it shows is your father and stepfather, that they were partners. And the best we could do is ex-partner them.
Right. And I am the adopted love child. The problem is that it doesn't make it easy to fix a problem like that.
I think it's easy if you find the problem early on, but if you discover it way after the fact, fixing, you got to think about the effects of fixing.
Right. I think we went a little too far back. By the way, we discovered that I am related to Moses. Well, all of my people are.
You're old enough. It's only 2 generations.
Oh, burn!
Solid burn.
That is a rip. No, but it is a fantastic genealogy program. And even if you're not, I have a lot of friends who are Mormon, who are LDS, and they are huge into genealogy. I'm not that into it. I thought, oh, come on, it's not going to be that much fun. And when Brandon brought that to my attention, in fact, we were sitting in the hotel at E3, and he's like, oh, you got to check this thing out. And we were it is so addictive. It's like a video game.
See, I wanted to figure it out because obviously with my last name, I was trying to figure out there's got to be some relation. How am I related? And for me.
To who?
Walt.
Oh, Disney.
The guy.
Duh.
So I was trying to figure out, so how does this work? Because I had heard growing up, you know, this person in the family say we're related like this and that person say like that. And I wanted to figure it out. So I started, and I didn't have enough information to figure it out. But one of the people I added, my dad, added his sister, and that's my aunt. And she went nuts. She had already done all this research, and she went, oh, this is way cooler. I have all these paper records. I have all this stuff. She put it all in there, and because she and I are linked, obviously we're family, I can see all of her work, and then it didn't take a whole lot more effort for me to figure out the connection.
And by paper, he means she had a ticket to Disneyland.
No. She had like a box full of like records to figure out who was related to whom. Is that right? Whom? Who?
Whom?
Who yeah, was related yeah, to whoever.
That's right.
Yeah. So whatever it was, she helped fill in a bunch of blanks, and it was with her help, which came from my dad who linked her, right? So you get the idea. I put him in. He put her in. She put in a bunch of stuff, and from there I was able to make a connection all the way back to Walt.
He said, she said, and somehow you're related to Walt as a distant, as a first cousin thrice removed.
Thrice removed. There you go.
Which is really kind of cool.
Financially does me zero good.
Does it get you free admission to the park?
No.
Hey, got a question for the show? Hit us up anytime, facebook.com/datadoctors, and just post it to the wall.
So hands on this little article we found about Twitter's new photo sharing service. We told you about it last week. They were going to go native with photo sharing and forget those third-party apps. Be able to do it right from the Twitter interface.
And they started doing it live this week. And it's really interesting because up until now, you've had those YFrogs, TwitPix, and it's not been native. And it adds just, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a challenge to use. Twitter incorporates PhotoBucket into their...
So it's a little bit of a ripoff here. They said it was going to be their own native feature. It's not their own native feature. It's just native in their interface.
Right. It's powered by PhotoBucket, but they've kind of gotten in bed with each other. That's my favorite term, who's gotten in bed with who. They've gotten in bed. They're very cozy. The blankets are on, and they're having a good time together.
A couple of weeks ago, you kept saying cool about everything, so now it's in bed, I guess.
Yeah, well, Ken didn't like cool, so now it's in bed. It's really, if you've used Twitter, if you're a tweeter, and I certainly tweet.
Is it a twit?
No, it's tweeter? A tweeter.
Tweeter-er?
And if you've tweeted in the past tense, have you...
Tweeted.
Tweeted. And if you... Oh, anyway. So, Twitter's new photo sharing service is very cool. It actually produces a much shorter link because you're not exporting to a third-party company. You're now keeping it native in the Twitter platform, so you're not eating up those 140 characters.
And most important, for people that are new to Twitter, you don't have to figure all this out. You don't have to talk to somebody who says, oh, if you want to put photos, here's how you do it. It does it for you now. So this is really, I think, big for early, or not early adopters, new adopters of Twitter, because it's always been a little bit confusing. You can't really use their interface. You have to use something third party if you want to include photos.
Now it's native. Hey, if you've still ahead, Windows Phone 7, if you've been considering making a jump to a different device, you know, getting off the Android, getting off an iPhone, could this be the phone you want when your contract is up? Apple fanboy? Yeah, thinking he might. And I'll tell you why.
Remember, the Data Doctors radio program is your source for all things tech. You can find the links to everything we're talking about today, datadoctors.com/radio or facebook.com/datadoctors.
Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome back to the best technology resource across the country. It's the Data Doctors radio program. You can jump in anytime you have a question for the show. It's toll-free, 888-545-1988.
Earlier in the show, we told you about E3 and all the cool new gaming systems. Hey, it's Spanky and Brandon, and here's what's going on in the world of technology right now.
Will Apple lose ground to Microsoft in the smartphone wars?
And the tablet wars continue. A new player may be entering the game.
And adding 3D to your iPad, iPhone, or iPod.
Data Doctors radio program.
So the Windows Phone 7, something we talked about a little bit in the past, but we haven't spent a bunch of time on. And One of the guys at the shop, he got one of these things.
Wow.
Showing it to us. Apple fanboy over there.
Let me just tell you, first of all, my heart goes thumpity thump thump when I look at this thing.
Do you hear what you're saying?
I know.
I'm going to play this back for you at some point in the audio archives because...
I just want to say, Apple fanboy, from the bottom of my heart, if this isn't a wake-up call for Apple, OMG.
Well, if it's a wake-up call, you know, Apple just a couple days ago announced all their new stuff. and all there's a lot of cool stuff there. Don't get me wrong. We'll talk about some of that later on. But
great.
But these guys over at Microsoft, the only big question is, are they too late to the game?
No. See, here's where I think.
Are you going to switch? Are you considering it?
Let me tell you, if Windows Phone comes available.
It is available.
In a way that I can sync it to my Mac.
You can. What are you waiting for?
I might switch.
You started with availability. That's something that's a little bit interesting there. So it's one of the few platforms that's available across all the major carriers
here
in the U.S.
Bi-platformal?
Quad-platformal. It's
Okta.
So like the iPhone for the longest time was only AT&T. They finally added Verizon, right? But that's it. Well, the guys over at Windows have partnered up with AT&T, Verizon, but also Sprint and T-Mobile.
And so, there's rumor that Nokia is going to be involved.
Well, that's not really a carrier, though, right? That's the manufacturer side.
Oh, that's right.
But if Nokia were to carry signals across places, that'd be good.
Brandon, E3, very trying on my brain.
Apparently, kind of fried it. So the couple of cool things that this thing does, there's some revolutionary things, some things that are different on this device from other devices. They've got this, what do they call it? That's like a home screen that contains like these little square icons that have information about people, about things going on right now.
Let me tell you how this works. So what it does is it pulls in real time, anytime you activate the screen, it'll pull in your Twitter feed, your Facebook feed of your friends, your contacts. If they change their picture on Facebook, it will update their contact image on your phone. All of the icons are the same size. It's very easy to navigate. I thought the iPhone was easy to navigate. It makes the iPhone, the Windows Phone 7. Let me clear this up.
Go ahead.
The Windows Phone 7 makes the iPhone look like 1980s technology.
Ouch.
It truly does. And this from hardcore Apple fan.
But before you make your decision, stay tuned later on in the program because we're going to talk about the new features coming for the iPhone. And for not just the iPhone 4, but the iPhone 3GS, there's some stuff that's going to help maybe at least keep them in the race for now. We'll talk about that stuff coming up.
And if you have a question for the program, it's live right now. You can join us live right now, facebook.com/datadoctors.
So staying on the whole Microsoft theme.
Oh, gosh.
Windows 8, not out yet, not even coming tomorrow. But if you take a look at some of the things they're building, we've got some video, we've got some links. We've got all kinds of stuff.
This isn't exactly
/radio. Some of the stuff that's coming.
This isn't exactly the most compelling video ever.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jensen Harris, and I'm Director of Program Management for the Windows User Experience.
Not compelling?
Okay, so first of all, I don't care what his name is, Jensen Harris. Again, I said earlier in the program, I think this might be the year of the flag. And Brandon, I got to tell you, as much as I am an Apple fan, Windows 8? Looks like Windows Phone 7 in terms of its functionality.
It's a little bit of a sneak peek, but we're starting to see how they're really kind of changing the way you work with the computer. And in a move very similar to what Apple is doing, they're adding a lot of the features for touch devices and things into the OS so that you don't have to have a separate platform for different devices.
Yeah, so imagine a seamless integration. So you have OS 10 Lion coming out. You have iOS 5. They function very similarly. They're seamless between device and computer and iPad, and it creates a very harmonious user experience.
So even though the dude that's doing the video, he's a little bit boring, I'm actually impressed with Microsoft is usually about a big production, and in this little video, he's like in a conference room, or not even a conference room, like a work room.
It's an idea room where they put up. Did you ever see that TV show Heroes, where they're trying to puzzle piece together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're mapping all the stuff.
They're mapping it all out. This is a map room where all the creative, brilliant people at Microsoft that they probably stole from Apple put together the footprint of Windows 8. I wish they'd come up with a cooler name for it, but I will tell you, Windows or Microsoft is I think this has got to be their year. They are making some phenomenal changes that are making me go, holy cow.
So the name is just a placeholder, by the way. We don't know what the full name will be. It may end up being Windows 8, but they could also call it something else. Who knows?
Right. And if you can handle sitting through a pretty not compelling video of the dude, the stuff that he's showing you on screen, OMG, phenomenal.
Cool stuff.
I was called out for saying, oh my God. Oh, I did it again. OMG.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, you know.
And that sound file could mean it's time for
Geek Speak,
our Geek Speak of the week.
Of the week.
Each week we find a vernacular, a term from the land of geekdom. We tone it down into English and then we tell you what it means.
Or as they say in some parts of the world, Ingerish.
English.
Ingerish.
This works Geek Speak. This week's Geek Speak of the week.
You sure about that?
LTE.
LTE, if you've heard the term, folks, is long-term evolution. If you've heard of iPhone. If you've heard of 4G LTE, long-term evolution. We've got a link to the full definition, but that's what LTE means. So when you're at a cocktail party and you don't know what to say, that's what you gotta say. This is the Data Doctors radio program. And, you know, LTE, great technology, super fast, lightning fast. But it's a computer. Your Android device, it's a computer. And all computers eventually have problems. When your desktop, your laptop, your personal computer dies, has a problem, you don't have to be a slave to your technology. That's what we're here for.
We may not be able to fix your internet connection, but your computer going slow, we can fix that.
Can't fix your family, but we can fix your computer. Data Doctors, we have a team of computer experts. We can take your pain away like that. We can speed up your computer, network your office, show you how to back things up. And if you lose your data because you didn't follow our advice, we can get that back too. We've got locations around the country. There's a Data Doctor store right near you. Go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for nearly a quarter century.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
All right, we've given enough love to Microsoft. If you're new to the iPad, we've got the 15 best apps every iPad owner should try. You want to see what they are? Go to datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Slash radio.
Radio.
Radio Gaga.
All we hear is Radio Gaga.
Hey, before the break, we were talking about Windows Phone 7. I know you said enough about Microsoft, so we'll switch gears. Because this past week, Apple had their worldwide developer conference.
We're going from flag to fruit.
So we are. So they had their worldwide developer conference, and
WWDC.
They announced over 200 new features that they're going to release for free to iPhone, iPad, iPod users.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. It's about time, and Apple had to do something, because with Windows Phone 7, like I said, it made the iPhone look like an antiquated device.
And not just those guys. It's the guys over at Google with their Android devices. Some of the stuff that they have, I've actually had the pleasure and the pain of working with a Google Android device for the past couple of weeks. There's some things I love about it. There's some things not so much. But what I'm seeing, some of the things they're doing, they're playing a little bit of catch-up. And they're bringing themselves sort of in line with some of the other offerings out there. But by far, one of the coolest things announced, the iCloud.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit earlier with the idea of you take a photo and it syncs everywhere. Your music, right? No matter where you bought it, you can listen to it on all your devices. Well, actually up to 9 devices. That's enough for most people, I think. A couple of other cool things. What about all the music you have that you didn't purchase from Apple?
Yeah, so now what Apple's allowing you to do for a flat fee annually...
$25
$25, thank you. Sorry, I wasn't...
I saw you spacing on it.
I was looking for the number. They will allow you to get a license, a legal copy. It'll look for the data for what that song is, and it will download a licensed copy for you.
Well, so the now, idea is you already owned a licensed copy, of course, but you just ripped it off of your CDs.
Or your friend left it on a thumb drive.
Whatever.
And you said, oh, I love that song. So this is making you legit because, look, most people don't want to steal. Most people are not out to screw the record companies, to hurt their favorite singer. It's just not the case.
And like MC Hammer, you can finally be too legit to quit.
You can't touch this.
What?
Okay? I don't know. So
what are the other stuff they had? So you were geeked about the iMessages. You started to talk about it earlier. Right. I made you stop.
So iMessages. So for those of you who are text messengers,
you messengers. Text message a lot.
Yeah,
texters.
If you're textually active.
Textually active. You're texters.
Okay.
Go with that.
For those of you who do a lot of it, you know, you pay through the nose for text messaging, and it's a service that really costs the phone company nothing. Apple has taken on their own iMessages platform for all iOS devices.
So wait a minute. Before, when I asked you why you were excited about this, why didn't you say that? Because now I get why you're excited. Before, it's another way to send a text message. What do I care?
Right. So this will allow us to do several things that you can't do with text messaging now. First of all, iOS device to iOS device, it will allow you to see, if you're texting back and forth with a buddy, it's almost like a real chat. You can see when they're typing. Now you can turn those features on and off, okay, so you don't have to see the message, because sometimes you start typing a message and you go, oh, I can't send that, and you want to fix it. So you can turn that on and off, but it allows for notification. It allows you to see when somebody has opened your text, and unlike the pain that we have with AT&T, where sometimes you send a text and it doesn't arrive for hours, it's because it's on the iOS platform, going through the iCloud, it's instantaneous.
Speaking of notifications, that's something else that... Gosh, having an iPhone and using it all the time, you're in the middle of trying to do something and somebody texts you and it interrupts what you're doing to the point where, like my banking app, it actually have to re-log in. Very frustrating, right? And there, this app notifies you in this place and that app in that place and interrupts, and it's very annoying. They've fixed a lot of this with a new notification feature that brings all your notifications into one place, and you can see them from your home screen if you miss them. Very smart.
Yeah, Apple took a cue from the Android operating system with a notification center. And in the new iOS, you're going to swipe down, just like on the Android devices, and it'll pull up a notification center. So if you missed a phone call, if you have an inbound email, your local weather. And now the funny thing is that this was available if you hacked your iPhone.
It was like a third-party app you could have,
third-party app. Unfortunately, every time you upgraded your iOS, it would get rid of that. It was one of my favorite features about having... Oh, did I say hacked? I had modified the software.
A friend of yours, somebody you knew.
Yeah. I gave it to him. I said, boy, I wish I could do this. Oh, no problem. I would never think of doing something like
so
that.
So a lot of little things they're doing, a lot of little enhancements, but they're little things that...
Mean a lot.
Sort of mean a lot, yeah. I mean, just having one of these devices and seeing some of the stuff they're doing. Pictures. How many times have you gone to take a picture? And you grab your thing out and you unlock, oh, I got to put my code in. Now I got to click the home screen. Now I got to click my camera app. By the time you get ready to take a picture, it was 5 minutes ago, right? From the home screen in the new upgrade, you can touch on the camera and take a picture with one or two clicks versus the 12 or 18 clicks it took you to get before.
Yeah, they've removed a lot of the pain. Hey, if you've got a question for the program, it's a toll-free call away, 888-545-1988, the year we were founded.
So while we were at E3,
oh,
we were walking around. Lots of stuff catches your eye. Some of it sparkly.
Some of it on two legs.
Yeah, something like that. Something caught our eye that had nothing to do with legs. Had to do with 3D for your iPhone, iPod, iTouch.
So Grilli 3D, and we've got a link to the website that makes this, has a, what do you call it? Like a skin. It's almost like a screen protector that separates the color spectrum. I'm getting a little geeky here. To allow you to view 3D without having to wear those stupid, irritating glasses.
So it's a little, yeah, like you said, a screen protector. It lays down on your existing kind of glass front screen there. And it has like these little black bars that go vertically. And through some kind of magic with that and a free app, it lets you view, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, it takes everything and kind of makes it in 3D that wasn't intended to be 3D.
Right, so it takes 2D content and separates, and 3D is created by separating colors.
it separates the color spectrum and puts one spectrum on one side of your eye, on one eye, the other spectrum on the other. This screen protector does that. And so the gaming systems, or the gaming on the iPhone, which, by the way, is one of the most downloaded gaming systems, is the iPad and iPhone and iPod. It allows you to play games in 3D on your iOS device. It is totally, totally radical.
So you're kind of geeked about this. I'm still, every time I see anything in 3D, forget that I don't need glasses. It just looks like a blurry mess.
Yeah, no, not this. I mean, my user experience, and of course the video, doesn't look so great because you can't tell that it's 3D when you're looking through a single lens. But it's killer, killer stuff.
Not so much for me. Hey, just ahead, does Facebook creep you out? If it doesn't, it just may. We'll tell you why. Stick around.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
All the stuff we talk about, including all the links, they're live right now, datadoctors.com/radio.
And if you have a question for the show, call us toll-free, 888-545-1988.
Or you can post it on our wall at facebook.com/datadoctors, and we'll do our best to answer it as a part of the program today.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Mm-hmm. I see you, Brandon.
Of course you do. I'm right across from you. Duh.
I see you on Facebook all the time.
Because I'm very popular.
I take pictures of you.
This sounds really kind of creepy.
Creepy. Well, that's what Facebook is. It's creepy. Facebook is rolling out this week. They rolled out on Tuesday their facial recognition software.
I actually kind of dig this.
I do too, but
I don't think it's creepy.
Why are people so creeped out by new technology?
So I got to tell you a story. So my son, he's in dive, competitive diving. It's his sport. I don't know why he digs it, but he digs it. There's a lady there whose son is also there, and she was wrestling with, she has all these photos, and she's trying to figure out how to organize them and upload them and deal with them. And so I turned her on to Google's Picasa service, and the killer feature that I think is in that service is facial recognition. Once you teach it a little bit about some of the faces in the photos, it starts to group everything by your kid, that kid, you put names to it. It's very cool.
iPhoto's been doing that for years. And so I don't understand why suddenly, if it's Facebook, people get up in arms about it. First of all, folks, can I get on a soapbox for a second, Brandon?
Yeah.
You're not paying for Facebook, so stop complaining about it.
Some would argue we are paying. There's ads there, you see.
I'm not paying for anything I don't click on. I don't care.
I pay for my internet connection.
Yeah, but that's not, you're not paying for internet to have Facebook. Facebook is just a free
thing. Why else would you have the internet?
Thing.
Besides that other thing.
We'll just leave it at that.
Right.
So, Facebook facial recognition, here's what's really cool about it. So, let's say I upload, so we have a barbecue and Brandon and his family are over and we take pictures.
It's the Moskowitz barbecue.
That's right, with the Disney family. We now upload pictures from that barbecue. It could recognize a picture of Brandon or his wife or his kids based on other tagged photos on Facebook, and so that it'll suggest to you, hey, this might be this person.
So tagging photos, a little bit painful. A lot of people don't do it because it takes time, and we all know people on the internet are a little bit lazy.
Everyone's lazy.
This can make tagging those photos like no work at all.
It's easy. And since Facebook has so many users, 600 million users, you know, by the way, Brandon, how many pictures do you think Facebook members upload on a, let's just say, daily basis?
In a day?
If you were to guess, how many pictures a day go up to Facebook?
600 million users. I'm going to do some quick goat math. I'm going to say more than 20. I'm going to go with like 5-6 million.
200 million photos a day.
200?
200 million with an M.
So we were at E3, right? Uh-huh. The city of Los Angeles, 26, 28 million.
Yeah.
It's 10 times,
the city of Los Angeles goes on Facebook every day. Facebook, right now, how many photos do you think they have stored on Facebook servers?
All right, so if I got 200 million a day and Facebook's been around for a few years, 4.5 billion with a B, billion.
How about we increase that a little bit? 90 billion with a B.
$90 billion
with a B.
I think I forgot to carry a zero or something with my Mac.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Facebook has one of the biggest repositories of photos on the internet, period.
Facial recognition. Gonna make it easier to keep track of who's who.
Much easier. And if you're one of those paranoid, you know, put tinfoil over your head so that the aliens can't abduct you.
Security
people,
settings.
You can opt out of that. And that'll be that.
Interesting stuff.
It's fantastic. In fact,
oh,
it's fantastic.
Here we go.
Yeah, baby.
Here we go.
Ah, it's time for that part of the show, My Little World.
Guys, he holds his breath every week waiting for this. He's giddy over there.
All right, baby. Yeah, baby. This week's MacTastic tip is actually bi-platformal.
No. Tri, quad, whatever. However many platforms there
if
are,
if there's
it's all
a
those
platform
platforms.
That uses Skype or video chatting, this'll work for all of y'all. I did that for our friends in Texas.
All y'all.
Dallas-Fort Worth area, all of y'all.
Big in the house, yo.
So this week's MacTastic tip is how to properly do a certain thing in Skype. For those of you who've video chatted before, you know that sometimes when you're on a video chat, you don't quite know where to look because you want to talk to your friend and you're looking at them, but if you're looking at them, you can't see yourself. And everyone likes to see themselves. It's kind of like a mirror.
Well, and you want to be looking in the right place, probably more important than even seeing yourself.
Right. So with Skype, typically the box that you're in winds up in the bottom right-hand or bottom left-hand corner of the screen. Here's something very easy you can do. Just grab your mouse or your trackpad, put it over that box, and you click it and drag it up right below your built-in camera.
If you don't have a built-in camera, you probably have one of those add-on cameras. It's probably right at like top center of your monitor, right?
And if you throw that image of you right up there, now you're looking at you, which means you're looking at the camera, which means that your friend's experience is you are looking at them.
So I've got an idea for the guys over at Skype. You guys update this product from time to time. Now it's the guys over at Microsoft, I guess, right? They bought Skype. Maybe you should put that video by default top middle of the screen. A-duh.
Very easy win.
Save us time.
And that, my friends, is this week's MacTastic tip.
Except for it's Mac, not Mac related at all.
It's tri-platformal, it goes always.
So it's not MacTastic.
It's better on the Mac.
It's Windows-tastic.
The Mac experience, much better.
Ugh. Still ahead, getting in touch with your roots. And no, ladies, we're not talking about your hair.
Plus, summer's here, and if you're in bikini shape, there's a new swimsuit that'll fit you like a glove.
Like a glove.
You can check it out at datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
I've been attacked. The bullets are flying. They're after me.
Modern Warfare 3 is not out yet.
No, the malware.
What malware?
The Mac malware.
There's no Mac malware.
There is Mac malware. Listen, Mac users, like me.
A little overdramatic.
Sorry. Look, if you spend any time listening to the program, you got to know by now, antivirus software, very important. I run it on my Mac. You should run it on yours. But if you've gotten lazy and your renewal notice popped up and you went click, get back to it later, and you never did, you're in deep.
Or if you have a Mac and you think, I don't need that stuff. Hey, you do now, baby.
Right. Data Doctors can fix that problem for you, though. We've got Quality Care Secure. It's better than Apple Care because we'll take care of your malware. If your antivirus software has expired, we can fix that. We got plans starting at $8.95 a month. Go to datadoctors.com and just click on Quality Care. You'll see it all there. Hot and dangerous. If you listen to us, you probably know we made a mistake. Early in the program, we told you about getting in touch with your roots. Unfortunately, we talked about that way earlier on the program. We move things around sometimes. That's what happens. So, ladies, if you're looking to get in touch with your roots, it's genie.com. G-E-N-I. It's a genealogy website. That's fantastic.
Tech knowledge for your technology. Data Doctors Radio Program.
So, you need some extra cash for an iPad? You can sell your kidney. We've got the link to this story, datadoctors.com/radio.
I already lost a kidney.
You lost a kidney?
Yeah.
Good thing you have a spare.
I was in a hotel room, and I woke up in a bathtub. It was...
What were you doing in a hotel room?
Sleeping in the bathtub.
Never mind. Let's move on.
Let's just move on. Hey, pay-per-view is going social. Can you imagine pay-per-view going social?
Everything's going social, so why not?
Everything's going social. So pay-per-view is doing something really cool. And guess who's involved in pay-per-view?
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, wait. By the way, there's some great video from E3. By the way, if you go to our YouTube channel, datadoctors.com/YouTube.
No, youtube.com/datadoctors.
YouTube.com/datadoctors. E3. All those video games totally messed with my ability to think straight.
Apparently. Hulk Hogan, we've got a cool video. We were walking down the hall, and just sort of by accident, this press lady, PR lady, she grabs us and she says, hey, you want to do an interview with Hulk Hogan? She's got a new game out. We went, sure. So, anyway.
So you'll see the video. Anyway, side note.
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view. So, Widespread Panic, the band.
What's Widespread Panic?
It's a band. A bunch of musicians.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah, there's like six dudes. A couple of old dudes and a couple of not as old dudes.
Like old like you or not that old? Anyway,
why the hate? Anyway, two pay-per-view performances, June 14th and 15th. It's coming right up. It's just around the corner. And it's direct from Austin City Limits in the Moody Theater. So,
and it's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook. So you're not going to be doing a typical television old school pay-per-view. Both performances will run nightly from 7 to 11:30 Central Time. Because they're using, obviously, it's in Austin, which is on Central Standard Time this time of year.
This is a little bit like when President Obama did his town hall thing on Facebook, only more musical.
Did President Obama charge for that? Was that a pay-per-view?
So this is a charge? I'm so confused. Wait, so it's on Facebook. Pay-per-view, it's not like a streaming thing. I have to pay?
Pay-per-view. You can purchase a single night.
Go ahead.
You can purchase a single night for $5 or both nights for $10 with unlimited viewing through Sunday, June 19th at midnight.
It'll be weird. We need to do a follow-up on this after it happens to find out if anybody watches.
Well, I'm going to watch it just because I have to, and then I'll expense the company.
You're not expensing. No.
Absolutely expensing this.
Good luck.
You can pay with Facebook credits. By the way, for those of you who go, what are those Facebook credits used for? You finally have something you can use them for.
What I've seen those. What are those for?
You can buy them in like Target. They have gift cards for Facebook credits.
I've never seen that.
I don't know what to do with them. But now you can use them, or you can use PayPal. I think it's a slick idea, and it's going to be the future of pay-per-view.
So there.
So that's what's happening.
So one of the things we've talked about in the past, AirPlay. It's a feature that exists on the iOS devices in the Mac world.
Fantastic.
Well, there's an AirPlay for Windows. It's not a Microsoft app. It's a third-party app that adds into your Windows Media Center. If you have a Media Center, so if you have Windows 7 or some of the older stuff, it's a cool little add-on that lets you take your iOS device, meaning your iPad, your iPhone, your iPod. Do people know when we say iOS device what we're talking about now?
I would hope so. If it's got an I in front of it, it's an Apple product.
If it's an I something and it's made by Apple, your videos, your photos, your YouTube, all that kind of stuff, you can take it, the stuff that's on your iPad, iPhone, whatever, you can make it display on your Windows PC too. It's a free add-on. It's third party. Pretty cool stuff.
And even YouTube on this device. And by the way, music is on its way. It's coming soon. It's not quite there yet, but they'll have it there soon.
Wasn't one of the new features in, was it the Lion update for the OS X, right?
Uh-huh.
They're adding something to the Apple TV display thing where you can take something we've actually been trying to figure out how to do. You can take your presentation. So we're doing prep for this show. We do it sometime in the week, and we talk about the things we want to do, and we kind of vote on, well, this is good, that's not so good, let's cut that. Believe it or not, we actually put planning into this. Anyway, we want to do that on one screen that we all see, we all share, and we've been spending a bunch of time trying to figure out how they're adding in exactly what we're looking for into the new release.
Right. So right now, we gather around a laptop. It's like sitting around a fireplace. You know, we pull the chairs nice and close, and we get together. We're close, but we're not quite touching. And we're looking...
That's important.
It's important. We're not touching. We're all happily married. Anyway, we sit around and we plan. And I said, gosh, it would be great if we could throw this up on the big screen in our big conference area where we conferize.
And everybody stares at me, Brandon. And well, you hear crickets in the background.
You're the head of IT,
chirp,
aren't you?
Chirp, chirp.
Doesn't it say on your cards, Brandon Disney, head of IT?
No, it just says Brandon.
Oh.
Pretty okay guy.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were the head of IT. Hey, we were talking about E3 a lot. We were there at E3 this week. And one of the things we discovered there was about the Sims game. Everybody knows what the Sims are, right? They've been around for a while. It's a big franchise. It's
been around for a really long time.
Yeah, it's been around for... And it was really kind of goofy when it first started, but it's become a pretty big thing. Well, now Sims are going social as well with Facebook flirting. And I don't know, Brandon. This could be dangerous for people.
They had something there. It has nothing to do with Facebook flirting. They had these little choker collar things that I looked at. They had them advertised all over, like, go to this booth and you'll get it. And I'm thinking, my daughter, perfect. Your kids? Ugh.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't get any. We failed.
Yeah, we failed to get the choker collars. But so it basically the folks at EA, Electronic Arts, are hoping to convince, you know, if you covet your neighbor's wife or the coworker you've always lunched with or your college sweetheart, that you'll start flirting with them on Facebook.
What's that to do with Sims?
Because it's Sims. It's an altered reality. So you're not really doing it.
Oh, what would life be like if I had made this path instead of that path choice?
You're not really cheating if you're a cartoon character. Right?
You try to convince your wife of that.
Hey, listen. EA is very progressive.
Those are the same guys. They also make the Call of Duty Modern Warfare that you were all hyped about earlier.
And Assassin's Creed. And by the way, Assassin's Creed, brutal violence. Do not recommend that game for kids. Sims, I'd recommend it, but not the flirty one. Don't need to
I'm so confused.
Don't need to teach our kids that stuff.
So Sims, good. Flirty Sims,
not so good. Hey, there's lots of stuff we didn't get to today. Have no fear. We've got links to all of that and more at datadoctors.com/radio.
And remember, if you get stuck with your technology, your hard drive starts clicking, you drop your laptop in the pool, whatever it is, we can help with that. Just click datadoctors.com, type in your zip code, and the Data Doctors location nearest to you anywhere in the country, it pops up right there for you.
Until next week, thanks so much for listening. It's Spanky, it's Brandon. This is the Data Doctors radio program.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.